Alright everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Grim Articles Show. I've got Dead Penetration here.
What's up?
And we are going to be talking about quite a lot of things. We're not going to do a rehash of the show we did last time, which, I mean, that one drama we were talking about is now nipped in the bud, so there's no need for me to talk about it, and the video that, of course, you've already seen from yesterday is pretty much BS, except for the feds getting into the U-Haul and all that kind of stuff. We went over all that. And of course, we had the hearings of January 6th, which is bullshit. We know that. Clown World keeps on going. There's no stopping it. You know, also, there's the Persona debacle. People are upset because, yes, P3, P4, and P5 are all coming to PC and Xbox. Unfortunately, we've got this fucking localizer that decided, hey, she wants to change things to make them more politically correct. Weebs are pissed. Weebs are like, no, we're not going to fucking do this shit. And I said, you know what, guys? If you want to fucking pirate it, go ahead. I don't fucking care. You're going to anyway. There's no stopping them. They know the shit's gonna have de novo. They know it's gonna get fucking cracked. They don't care. You know, it is what it is. They're not gonna give people money for a game that's censored or they change things up. They're not gonna do that. Yeah. And they shouldn't have to do that. That's not something that people should have to do. Like, oh yeah, you changed valuable parts of the story to match the agenda that you believe in. No, that's not even your job. You know what their job actually is to do? Because the game's already been localized once. It's to change the buttons. So instead of it being like the PlayStation buttons, the square and circle triangle, they're just changing it to X, A, Y, B, or whatever you have for your controller. So that's all they're literally supposed to do is change button prompts. They're not supposed to go in there and... But they keep saying that they're going to go in there and find things from the story that they want to omit and parts that they... they're not supposed to do that. They're not even supposed to touch that. And, I mean, even Purity Sin was fucking talking about, hey, if they do change this shit, I'm just going to, you know, play the emulated version of P3 and I'm just going to go ahead and play the stream... basically stream P5R from her own console. She's like, fuck it. I've already got a game that's in English. There's no need for me to do all that. And I agree. If that's what she wants to do, that's what she wants to do. I mean, that's probably the best. But yeah, it sucks. You know, it's another localization job. And I get it. People are kind of upset about it. But it's, I mean, if you're a PC gamer, you know it's going to be modded out and fixed. And there's going to be all kinds of shit added to the game. But if you are a console gamer, you're fucked because you can't really mod it. I don't know. There was one guy, developer was talking about a way to mod on Xbox. So maybe they can fix it on Xbox. I don't know. So maybe you're not fucked if you're on a console anymore. Used to be. That was all you got if you got the console game. You couldn't really get in there. But apparently with these new systems, you can kind of mod it. So if you could mod it, I mean, well, I know they have mods for like Grand Theft Auto and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. So. On console, so maybe they could just mod it out on console.
Any
so
Rockstar one, yeah. So passwords.
So and well, no, I'm talking about mods, like that somebody people make to change the game.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you can download mods and stuff like
that.
Get
the game with all the mods already in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, no. I mean, a lot of these are third party. You got to download them.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, so that's what I'm saying here, because you'll have to download third party patches and stuff like that, in order to fix the game. Which, there's no problem with that. God damn, I don't know why this is like this. Alright, here we go. I don't want to have you guys sit there looking at a menu screen. Okay. Yeah, but that's what's going on so far. Couple game announcements. Of course, Resident Evil. Bunch of stuff coming out for that. Reverse finally got announced. Still have nothing about Rev 3, but I think they want to push that DLC... Which seems to be the epilogue to Village, and it's good. I'm glad they did it. So, I'm curious. I want to play Rose's story. That's what I said when I saw the ending. I was like, is Rose going to be a new character? She very well may pop up in Rev 3 or Resident Evil 9. She may be, like, the future of this whole thing. So I don't know. And plus, they're doing it all third person because people said they wanted a third person game, so they're doing that third person on. I think all the stuff for Village, and it looks so much better when you see it in third person. And it's like, yep, that's the way it should have been. So Capcom is listening. They're just not listening to people about Mega Man and Dino Crisis and all this other shit. They want to give us this weird Exo Primal game, which nobody was interested in, by the way. I was looking at the chat on YouTube, and nobody fucking cared. Like, nobody was interested in playing the game. All the people were like, no, this looks stupid. I was like, yeah, this isn't the Dino Crisis we want. We didn't want robots fighting dinosaurs. We just wanted another Dino Crisis game.
Robots, what?
That's it.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's not that interesting. And it was kind of a joke when they announced, oh, wow, they're going to do something for Dragon's Dogma. And everybody's like, oh, is it a new game? No, we're going to do a 10-year anniversary thing where we'll talk about the history of Dragon's Dogma. And people are like, yeah, sure, we're really interested in that. No, they want a new game. They want Dragon's Dogma 2. And I don't know if they're ever going to get it. Now, I have Dragon's Dogma DRM-free. That's one of the few games that Capcom broke the DRM on. So, I may play it at some point. I don't know. There's so many other games just like it, but that's like Dragon Age. Like, I've got Dragon Age Origins, which is what many say is the only real good one. So, I may go through that at some point. I've been playing a lot of older games with my, not necessarily cheat engine. I have been using some cheat engine stuff, and I've been using some trainers. But I basically went through, Caligula. I played a little bit of Caligula. I actually managed to beat one of the bosses in one of the areas in Caligula, so I'm trying to get through that. And I'm trying to get through the very first Trails in the Sky, because I need to get through Trails of the Sky in order to go through the second to third, and then the Azure is about to come out, which is the one right before you play Cold Steel. There's four Cold Steel games, but in order to play those, you really need to know Azure and the other game, because they're the two games that happen in the middle. So I'm going to try to, you know, zoom past all these games, even though it's a little hard. My God mode isn't working very well, but it's not like I haven't played an RPG. I just don't like the battle system for Trails in the Sky. And maybe they fixed it a little bit, but my God, is it terrible. It takes forever to kill an enemy. I'm like, dude, I got the best weapons that I can get right now. I don't know, what am I supposed to do? Sit and fucking grind and grind and grind, and it takes forever to get through one battle. So I'm like, do I gotta just waste 6 to 12 hours of goddamn time just grinding so I can attack it, so I can actually beat some enemies and get somewhere? Because it takes forever. But, I don't know. I like the story. It actually got interesting, you know, when you help the reporter out. For those of you who've actually played the game, you know, I'm still in the prologue. Yes, I'm still in the prologue where you help the reporter out and you meet the scientists, and they're talking about the ancient technology and the towers, you know, the Tower of Esmeralda or, yeah, something like that. But that's where I'm at. I don't know when the actual game starts, but hopefully they do things a little differently than what's in the fucking prologue, because that shit is boring. I mean, I get it. They're young bracers. They're trying to, you know, make their way. But, yeah, it's a good series. People praise it. They think it's like the god of RPGs. It's like the Final Fantasy of the new generation. But, yeah, I guess it's up there with the Ys games. I kind of prefer Ys a little more because I like Adol. You know, Adol is the hero. Except when he's not, when you watch Ys 2 anime, and they're like, fuck you, Adol. We don't want you here. But I'm the hero. I saved the day. Get out of here. We'll kill you. I thought that was great. I always think they should have adapted that. Because everywhere Adol goes, it's like, look at me, oh, it's brave hero Adol, you're the man that... And these villagers are like, no, fuck you, get out of here, we'll kill you, Adol. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. Because they would have never done something like that today. Like, I've even noticed now, some of you guys may correct me, but a lot of this isekai anime, I haven't seen too many anime where it's like, hey, you're the hero. It's like, No, you get that asshole out of here. We don't want you to save. We don't want you to save the day. Go on somewhere. See, that's what I want to see adapted. I want to see an anime where they don't fucking want him to save the world. They want him to go. They treat him like shit.
And call that Trump. They treat him like shit.
Right.
If you have one for the apocalypse, you could call it Biden.
Oh, man. It was... But, yeah, that was great. But, yeah, those are the games I've been playing. Of course, Postal. Definitely Postal Brain Damage. It's got a 10 on Steam. That is not an exaggerated 10. That is one of the best boomer shooters I've ever played. And I prefer boomer shooters to standard FPS. So, when I'm talking, I know what I'm talking about. I prefer Doom and Quake and Hexen and Heretic. Those games I like. So when I play a boomer shooter that is this fucking good, dude, it took me... I'm still in the first level of the game, the very first area. There's 15, but it's so large and drawn out. There's so much to do. It's like an open world. It's so amazing how much work they've put into this game. And it's not easy. These enemies will hand you your ass. There's a lot of them. They have their own special patterns. And there's some that are absolute chase patterns that they will chase you down and fucking kill you. Like, either throwing burgers at you to death, or the dogs will just fucking maul you. It is... Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I could go for a burger, yeah.
But just a lot of good games have released this year. We've had a lot of really good... the Summer of Gaming, of course, you know. GOG crashed today. They were offering... that's another game I played. Shantae and the Pirate's Curse was offered free today. And some Brazilian streamer talked about it. And because they did, GOG's site was inoperable for, like, the longest time. I couldn't even access a game without telling me I didn't have permission to look at the game. So I barely bought Remy Lore, which I'll be playing here soon. But, Remy Lore was on sale for $20, and I wanted to wait till I got some money. So I got some, and I went ahead and bought it. Remember, it's like $49 normally. Yeah, they're charging a stupid amount of money for that game. So when I saw it for $20, I knew that's about as cheap as it's going to get. So I bought Remy Lore. Is it fun? Absolutely. If you remember my doll video where we talked big doll video, a lot of people watch it here on MGTOW.TV. I was playing Remy Lore in that, so I remember that game. Very, very fun game. It's a roguelike, but it doesn't fucking, like, it's not brutal. It actually, gives you a chance. It's a fun game. You'll have a lot of enjoyment with it. I do recommend it for the $20 they're selling it for. DRM free, by the way. And, of course, you know, we talked about Aliens, the Alien Isolation going DRM-free. Chorus released DRM-free. That is a game we're going to play pretty soon. It's like Star Fox if it had taken from Control. So it's got a serious story behind it. But I looked at the graphics. It's kind of fucking blown away. I can't wait to install this thing and play it if my computer doesn't explode. But, I've been playing that. And since I got Pirate's Curse, I've been also playing. I actually managed to beat one of the dungeons and bosses, but I went back to Shantae Risky's Revenge, which has been sitting on my computer since the day I fucking bought it, which is, I don't know, almost 10 years? So I finally decided to jump into it and say, hey, let's give it a go. And sure enough, I had to use the walkthrough because that actually helped me out. I was lost in the game. That's why I didn't continue any further. But I read the walkthrough. I'm like, oh, that's where I'm supposed to go. And the rest of it, you know, it's pretty good. I got my monkey transformation. And, of course, you know, monkey's the first one you get. But I'm going to go through that game and get into Pirate's Curse. And after you go to Pirate's Curse, you got half Genie Hero, and then you got the Seven Sirens. So, yeah, there's a lot of games in that series. They're not that long. These are very, very short games. For the most part, you can beat them in 4 or 5 hours. But there's extra content, which may take a little longer. Like, if you want to play as Risky and Half Genie Hero, you can. Yeah, she actually has her own path in the game. So, yeah, the game I'm playing right now is only about 5 or 6 hours, and I'm already an hour into it, so I don't have that much more. But yeah, after I get through all that, I'm just going to keep working my way up. And
kind of excited for that High on Life now. Y'all mentioned.
Yeah, that game looks cool. High on Life looks cool. There's a lot of interesting stuff coming out. Capcom did announce a Capcom Arcade Collection 2, which I don't really need, and DP doesn't need, because we both have Pandora boxes.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of the good Pandora box games that you can get right on your PC. So if you don't feel like fucking around with China, you can buy like some really good games. But they're talking about like charging separate for the games, and I don't know how much.
That sounds ridiculous.
A little crazy. These games are old, like, yeah. 99 cents. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, because they're like, oh, if you buy this regular pack, you get Street Fighter 2 free with it. I'm like, okay. And then they're like, you get, I forgot what other game, but I'm like, dude, no, just give people a pack of games like you used to, Capcom. It's so stupid. Now, maybe they're going to offer options to that. But, you know, for people that want to keep the Capcom classics preserved, I mean, keep in mind they're releasing all their fighting games in the Capcom Arcade Fighting Collection, which comes out in June, on June 24th. So I've got a pretty good, man, if you like classic games, we got Ninja Turtles on the 16th. Then we got Capcom Arcade Classics Fighting Collection coming out on the 20th, 24th. Oh. These games are going to be, yeah, you got all your Darkstalkers, all kinds of games
on there.
Now, what's
the one we're doing next week?
We're doing Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, which is a .emu game, brand new. You can play as the Turtles, you can play as April O'Neil, you can play as Splinter, and you can play as Casey Jones. That's all the ones they've released so far, and they'll all come with the game when you get it.
Of course, all the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, of course. They're not nickel and diming us. And I think it was some of the members of the Wu-Tang Clan got together and made a rap for it. So, yeah, I heard it was pretty fucking good, too. They said that the Turtles rap in it as well. But Ghostface, dude was like, Ghostface fucking killed the Turtles. It's like, the Turtles was rampant. Yeah.
I remember the Wu-Tang video game for PlayStation. That was fun.
Well, they like their Ninja Turtles, and they, I mean, Dot Emu knew how
martial
to.
Martial arts related, yeah. They're going
to
love.
Dot Emu knew who to pick to do that game.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'm glad to see it, man. I'm glad to see that it's on the soundtrack. It's cool. I mean, I like them. They didn't pick these fucking mumble, not even the mumble, but the auto-tune rappers that they play all the time at work. And like, yeah, it doesn't even sound like rap music anymore.
Yeah.
So when you hear these guys, like, it's gonna be beats and rhymes.
They sound like a kid going through puberty if they didn't have the auto-tune.
Right. It's just so fucking crazy. But, yeah, just so many games coming out. It's so good to see all these games. Stuff to distract us from the issues that are going down right now.
The fall of our country.
The fall of our country and all that shit.
Yeah.
But let's go into the articles. So, what do we have? A lot, I know that. Okay. Since there's nobody here, they're in another server right now, chat, and I was in there earlier. Which is cool. They have some good chats in there. Let's see. They're in, MGTOWN Podcast server, so you should check it out and subscribe to them and pay a couple dollars a month and get in that server. It's fun. Okay, so let's see here. Daily Mail. As we promised. Woman, 21, is virtually raped by a stranger in Meta's Metaverse app while another user watched and passed around a bottle of vodka, report claims. A woman was virtually raped by a stranger in Meta Horizons World's Metaverse app while another user watched and passed around a bottle of vodka, a new report claims. Some of Us, a nonprofit that campaigns to curb the growing power of corporations, sent a 21-year-old researcher into the virtual world this month. About an hour into using the platform, her avatar was sexually assaulted during a disorientating and confusing experience. The researcher, who is unnamed, said, "It happened so fast, I kind of dissociated. One part of my brain was like, what the fuck is happening? The other part was like, this isn't a real body. And another part was like, this is important research." Speaking to Mail Online, a Meta spokesperson highlighted that the researcher did not have the personal boundary feature on, a safety tool that's turned on by default and prevents non-friends from coming within 4 feet of your avatar. And Horizon World's personal boundary is default on almost 4 foot... on at almost 4 foot for non-friends to make it easier to avoid unwanted interactions, a spokesperson said. We don't recommend turning off the safety feature with people you don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Horizon Worlds was released by Meta in December. Meta, of course, Facebook. And allows users to gather with others, play games, and build their own virtual worlds. It's an early step in Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg's ambition to transform the platform into the metaverse, a collective virtual shared space featuring avatars of real people. And a new report released this week titled Metaverse, Another Cesspool of Toxic Content, some of us details what happened when a young researcher tested the app on an Oculus headset. The researcher went in with a female-appearing and female-sounding avatar and was sexually assaulted within an hour, according to the report. While Meta's personal boundary setting is off by default, the researcher decided to turn this off, having been encouraged by another user. Well, whose fault is that? Some of us researchers.
She was asking for it.
No, somebody told her to turn it off.
Yeah.
Even though she's like, well, I got right. Well, you're supposed to turn that on. That's why you turn safety features on when you first go into a server that you're not.
She didn't get right.
The fictional character. Yeah. Some of us researcher was led into a private room at a party when she was raped by a user who kept telling her to turn around so he could do it from behind while other users outside the window could see, all while another user in the room watched and passed around a vodka bottle, the report reads. With personal boundary disabled, the other avatars were able to virtually touch the researcher's avatar, causing her hand controllers to vibrate, creating a very disorienting and even disturbing physical experience.
Oh, no.
Meta highlights that as several tools to help people stay safe while in virtual reality.
I don't know how she'll ever get over it.
Man.
PTSD is coming along.
Absolutely fucking terrible. We're worried about people getting raped in the metaverse. Virtual reality.
Man. They better put her on suicide watch. I don't know if she'll make it through the night. Being raped on an avatar.
Okay, I was shared this Twitter post. No, Reddit post. r/relationship advice. Me, 18 male, and my girlfriend, 18 female, have been together for some time now, but she only recently told her friends because before I even talked to them, most of them didn't like me for the differences between me and her in size. I'm a 6'1", 184-pound guy, but I look bigger in my clothing, but my girlfriend is 5'1", very skinny. And they think I'm a pedo because of it. Outside of starting the relationship, after she was hitting on me for months, everything has been at her pace. I'm not going to leave her because I genuinely love her, but there's a point in trying to be friends with them. Side note, it's not all of them. Some of them are nice. Too long, don't read. Girlfriends don't like me because my girlfriend is half my size, so to them that makes me a pedo, so I don't know if I should try to be friends with them.
Not too many 6 foot females out there. I mean, they're out there.
And of course, they're saying her friends are nut jobs.
Yeah, that's a good sign. You need to drop those friends if they're not gonna be considerate for supporting you for your happiness.
Right. And we got another article here. This one's interesting. Not a lot of people have talked about this. I don't know if it's been fixed yet. It was only 17 days ago, so we don't know. Ransomware group forces victims to pick any 5 poor children and buy them KFC. It's like if Robin Hood and a chain email from your aunt fell into the machine from The Fly. As reported by the security outfit CloudSec, a new ransomware group called Goodwill forces its victims to give to the poor in order to regain access to their files. Goodwill seems to originate out of Mumbai, India, and like other ransomware, will encrypt important files on an infected device, requiring an encryption key provided by the hackers to regain access. Unlike typical ransomware attacks, which will ask for money in the exchange, Goodwill charges victims with three peculiar acts of charity. It is unclear from the CloudSec report how many people have been targeted by the group or whether anyone has actually gone through with the process. The first task is to provide new clothes, blankets to needy people on the roadside and make a video of the event with proof posted to Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. Next, Goodwill targets have to, in the evening, pick any five poor children under 13 years of your neighborhood and take them to Domino's, Pizza Hut, or KFC, then allow them to order the food they love to eat and try to make them feel happy. The hackers also want you to film and take pictures of the kids for social media. Very cool. The final Goodwill charge is to pay for... I don't think that's cool. Taking some random kid.
They're still threatening people.
Yeah, I know. We're going to talk about this. Hold on. The final Goodwill charge is to pay for the medical bills of someone who can't afford to and post it to Facebook, etc. It's all a bit corny. Like something out of a chain email your grandma might send. Except the security threat is very real. The element of posting proof to social media coupled with the incredible profile frame provided to anyone who's overcome all the hurdles indicates to me that this is much more about humiliation than actually helping anyone. Goodwill's scheme reminds me of how the guy from Death Note thought he was going to change the world by orchestrating extra-legal executions of small-time criminals. Like Yamagami, if you want to move the needle, you have to think bigger. I'm sure these Goodwill guys can do some digging and find out why so many people have enormous medical bills. But I would never encourage in criminal activity of any kind. Alongside the general chain email vibe, I'm really caught up on the whole take five needy kids out to eat thing. What parent in their right mind would allow that? Don't worry, I'm not trying to abduct your kid. Hackers just stole all the data from my HVAC business and this is how I get it back. I also have to film your child eating normal stuff.
You know.
Karmically, maybe all this cynicism is just me begging to be Goodwill's next victim. Those kooky hackers in Mumbai are about to teach me a valuable lesson about giving, humility, and filming people, including children, experiencing life-changing Kentucky Fried Chicken. And, of course, people are like, oh, you want to kill the children by giving them KFC? Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's not so cool.
Yeah.
It's not so cool. Okay. We're actually getting up there. We're on May 28th. Mm. We're on May 28th, so we're just a little behind, but not super behind. Cardiologist mocks non-vax. I won't cry at your funeral. Dead 2 weeks after fatal mRNA shot. You probably didn't hear a peep about a 52-year-old Canadian cardiologist who mocked those who refused to take the experimental COVID mRNA shot, and 2 weeks after his own dose of his medicine, he was dead. Sohab Lochmedial is the cardiologist I mentioned, and his story is not that uncommon among arrogant mockers of those who simply question the safety and effectiveness of the deadly experimental COVID shots. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yep.
Of course, though, Democrats aren't going to be looking into any of that, as I'm saying.
Got another one. YouTuber Ethan Klein calls for bombing of NRA conference. YouTuber Ethan Klein called for the NRA conference in Texas to be bombed. Saw there was a big protest outside the NRA meeting, which was good, Klein said Friday. Do we have any insight into what they're actually talking about there at the NRA meeting this today in Texas? Someone should bomb that building. Klein hosts the H3 podcast with 2.9 million subs. The National Rifle Association convention is held annually in Houston. Earlier this year, Klein, who is obese, was embroiled in controversy for criticizing Joe Rogan's health choices. His calls for violence also don't end with his bombing proposal. Klein encouraged his young audience to engage in physical confrontation with NRA supporters and Republicans. More people need to be getting loud, more people need to be getting angry, getting in people's fucking faces, he said. Klein further encouraged violence against Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who is paralyzed, saying, I hope that somebody puts a stick in his fucking wheelchair and he tumbles out of his seat. Send Abbott down a hill. Hold on. There we go. He said, send Abbott down a hill with nobody to hold the back of his wheelchair. Klein prefaces calls for violence by promoting sales of his new shirts, which read, End Gun Violence. Klein's video violates a number of YouTube's community guideline policies, including hate speech against the disabled, incitement of violence, and harmful or dangerous content policies. Many YouTubers have been banned or demonetized for much less offensive violations of YouTube's guidelines, but Klein has been accused of receiving special treatment from YouTube. His account received strikes for violating the platform's harassment policy in 2021, but he's received no significant lasting consequences for his dangerous behavior. Klein routinely called for the banning or demonetization of fellow YouTubers. In a video just last month titled, The LeBrant Family Should Be Kicked Off YouTube, Klein demanded a family channel be removed for posting a pro-life documentary. The LeBrants run a prominent Christian family channel and encourage traditional family values, something Klein believes is too extreme to be on the same platform he uses to incite violence. YouTube did not immediately respond for comment from the post-millennial. Okay. Got another one here. Beto O'Rourke, not proud of the murder fiction he wrote as a teenager. On Friday, Beto O'Rourke's second day along the presidential trail, the 2020 hopeful said, that stuff I was part of as a teenager, not anything that I'm proud of today, referring to a fiction he wrote about murdering children, Politico reports.
You Republican or Democrat?
Republican. This is Beto O'Rourke. The revelation followed news that O'Rourke was once a member of Lubbock, Texas-based hacker group called Cult of the Dead Cow. An excerpt from O'Rourke's teenage murder writings. I really don't care.
Shoot, the things I was doing when I was a teenager.
Right.
Shouldn't be held against me now.
Yeah, at least 8 911 calls were made from classrooms at Robb Elementary School, and... Oh. Well, that's it. That's really all they had to say. That's literally all they had to say. I'll read the excerpt, but it's not that much. One day as I was driving home from work, I noticed two children crossing the street. They were happy, happy to be free from their troubles. This happiness was mine by right. I had earned it in my dreams, he wrote, according to Reuters. As I neared the young ones, I put all my weight on right foot, keeping the accelerator pedal on the floor until I heard the crushing of the two children on the hood, and then the sharp cry of pain from one of the two. I was so fascinated for a moment that when after I had stopped my vehicle, I just sat in a daze, sweet visions filling my head. It's actually not bad writing. But, I mean, he's writing a psychopath. You can write a psychopath. I mean, I've written psychopaths before. But I'm not running for office either.
Yeah, but that's when he's a teenager.
Who right, it's writing as a teenager.
For office when they're
right, that's why they're trying to, they're trying to dig all that shit up.
I mean, look up any of these liberals or any. I mean, it doesn't matter who they are politically. Look up any of their pasts. They're going to have some skeletons in their closet somewhere.
Right.
Especially, how were they going to know it? People are going to be fighting for your freedom of speech and
right.
Everything else 10 years or 20 years down the road.
Right. Stylized fighting game Skullgirls is changing the design of nurse-themed combatant Valentine so that the crosses on her outfit are removed, exchanging them for shuriken instead, and certain to have many curious why the change was needed. Forum post was provided by one of the game's devs explaining the changes and lightly alluding to the explanation of why they're being implemented. As noted in the message, every frame for Valentine's animations will be updated in the game and mobile version along with the story mode art, miscellaneous art, and other characters who happen to have this cross shape, such as Ellium and Last Hope. Developers were forced to quickly change Valentine's red crosses to pink ones in the past to avoid issues with the humanitarian organization Red Cross. So some assume that the outright removal of the crosses is similar. It's also theorized that the cross removal is for appeasing regions where such imagery is not allowed or restricted. Wow. Skullgirls previously censored the pantsuit that would be on display during some animations. Okay. Well, I mean, they're doing that because they want it to be available in all countries, and I get it, but whatever. I mean, I still have a copy of Skullgirls. I played it years ago. I beat it with a bunch of different characters. I thought it was fun. I really don't want to go back to it, and I really don't care. I mean, honestly. I mean, it's like old hat now. That game's been out for fucking ever, and they just keep adding more stuff to it. I'm like, yeah, it was good back in, what, fucking 2010? Yeah. It was good years ago. Okay. This is interesting. Unfortunate, but interesting.
Yeah.
Entirely new kind of highly reactive chemical is found in Earth's atmosphere, and it could be triggering respiratory and heart diseases, contributing to global warming, scientists claim. Scientists have detected a new type of extremely reactive substance in the Earth's atmosphere that could pose a threat to human health as well as the global climate. Researchers from the University of Copenhagen have demonstrated that trioxides, chemical compounds with three oxygen atoms attached to each other, are formed under atmospheric conditions. Trioxides are even more reactive than peroxides, which have two oxygen atoms attached to each other, making them highly reactive and often flammable and explosive. Peroxides are known to exist in the air surrounding us, and it was predicted that trioxides were probably in the atmosphere as well, but until now it has never been unequivocally proven. This is what we have now accomplished, said Professor Henrik Grom Kjærgaard at the University of Copenhagen's Department of Chemistry. The type of compounds we discovered are unique in structure, and because they are extremely oxidizing, they most likely bring a host of effects that we have yet to uncover. Wow. Hydrotrioxides are a completely new class of chemical compounds. They're found in a reaction between two types of radicals, radicals, molecules that contain at least one n-paired electron. In laboratory experiments using a free jet flow tube at a room temperature at a pressure of 1 bar air, combined with the very sensitive mass spectrometers, the researchers demonstrated that hydrotrioxides are formed during the atmospheric decomposition of several known and widely emitted substances, including isoprene and dimethyl sulfide. Isoprene is one of the most frequently emitted organic compounds into the atmosphere. It's produced by many plants and animals, and its polymers are the main component of natural rubber. The study shows that approximately 1% of all isoprene released turns into hydrotrioxides. However, the researchers expect that almost all chemical compounds will form hydrotrioxides in the atmosphere and estimate their lifespan range from minutes to hours. This makes them stable enough to react with many other atmospheric compounds. The researchers estimate that the concentrates of hydrotrioxides in the atmosphere are approximately 10 million per cubic centimeter. In comparison, OH radicals, one of the most important oxidants in the atmosphere, are found at concentrations of about 1 million per cubic centimeter. We can show now through direct observation that these compounds are actually formed in the atmosphere, that they are surprisingly stable, and that they are formed from almost all chemical compounds, said Jing Chan, a PhD student in the Department of Chemistry and second author of the study. All speculation must now be put to rest. The research team claims that the hydrotrioxides are likely to be able to penetrate into tiny airborne particles known as aerosols, which pose a health hazard and can lead to respiratory and cardiovascular diseases. They will most likely enter aerosols where they will form new compounds with new effects, said Professor Kjærgaard. It is easy to imagine that new substances are formed in the aerosols that are harmful if inhaled, but further investigation is required to address these potential health effects. There is also a high probability that hydrotrioxides impact how many aerosols are produced, according to the researchers, which in turn has an impact on climate. As sunlight is both reflected and absorbed by aerosols, this affects the Earth's heat balance, that is, the ratio of sunlight the Earth absorbs and sends back into space, explained co-author and PhD student Eva A.R. Kjærgaard. Okay, so we're almost done. Okay. When aerosols absorb substances, they grow and contribute to cloud formation, which affects Earth's climate as well. The researchers hope the discovery of hydrotrioxides will help scientists learn more about the effect of the chemicals we emit. Most human activity leads to emission of chemical substances into the atmosphere, said co-author and postdoc Kristen A. Moeller. So knowledge of the reactions that determine atmospheric chemistry is important if we are able to predict how our actions will affect the atmosphere in the future. Professor Kjærgaard added, these compounds have always been around, we just didn't know about them. But the fact that we now have evidence that the compounds are formed and live for a certain amount of time means that it's possible to study their effect more targeted and respond if they turn out to be dangerous. The study was published in the journal Science. Okay.
All
right. We've got an article from May 31st. We're not going to go too far into this because it's absolutely massive. We're just going to read a few paragraphs. The trolling of Amber Heard. Why did the internet turn on her? The libel battle between Johnny Depp and his ex-wife led to a tsunami of online content during the trial, most of it vilifying her. What's behind it? Asked Polly Vernon. The defamation case brought by the actor Johnny Depp against his ex-wife, the actress Amber Heard, has captured the public imagination in a way few other celebrity litigation exercises have. Wagatha Christie certainly seems like a piffling patriarchal sideshow by comparison. Depp, who divorced Heard in 2017, is suing his former wife for $50 million because of an article she wrote in the Washington Post in 2018 suggesting he behave abusively towards her. Heard is countersuing for $100 million, saying that Depp mounted a smear campaign against her. The trial ended on Friday to the chagrin of the millions who live stream court footage every day, and did so even before the British supermodel Kate Moss appeared as a witness on behalf of Depp, her former boyfriend. In the course of the 6 weeks over which it ran, the trial created a tsunami of online content. There was all that live streaming and avid watching of the established U.S. court channels, one of whom, Court TV, reported a fourfold increase in viewership. But there was also a multitude of memes. Justice for Johnny hashtag and a swirl of Instagram accounts. Johnny Depp case, 116,000 followers. Johnny Depp trial updates, 57,000 followers. The mysteriously disabled house inhabitant. The work of the influencer Jessica Reed Krause, who disappeared after Reed Krause accused David Shane, Amber Heard's PR man, of sexual misconduct. Daily packages of compilation clips called things such as Amber Heard's team get wrecked in the most hilarious way by this witness circulated then inevitably came the merchandise. A Don't Be Amber t-shirt, yours for $12.62 off Etsy. Even those who choose not to live stream the trial could not avoid it, and made traditional news outlets on a daily basis are the fact that the internet mood, and by extension the public mood, is overwhelmingly anti-Heard. Depp has for decades enjoyed the support of an infamously virulent fan base, a group that will defend his honor against even the wildest swipe. The Deptford Wives, as some have referred to them, have been imaginatively active over this period, doing things such as flooding the website of Dr. David Spiegel, a psychiatrist, with negative reviews after he took the stand on Heard's behalf. However, anti-Heard sentiment extends far beyond the limits of the cohort. Give or take a handful of op-eds damning the creation of the memes, the merchandise, and the way the case has been consumed as a form of entertainment, plus the victim blaming and diminishing of the widespread problem of domestic abuse, the majority of people seem convinced that Heard is the baddie in this Hollywood drama. And I am not going to read all this.
It is what it is. I think it's a good thing because now it shows you shouldn't believe all women.
Right.
Just because they have something come out of their mouth.
Right.
I think men should have equal right to getting their kids in a divorce hearing as the woman does.
Right. Okay. Court okays barring high IQ for cops. New London, Connecticut, September 8th, 2000? Okay, so this is an old one. A man whose bid to become a police officer was rejected after he scored too high in the intelligence test, and has lost an appeal in a federal lawsuit against the city. The Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in New York upheld a lower court's decision that the city did not discriminate against Robert Jordan because the same standards were applied to everyone who took the test. This kind of puts an official face on discrimination in America against people of a certain class, Jordan said today from his Waterford home. I maintain you have no more control over your basic intelligence than your eye color or gender or anything else. He said he does not plan to take any further legal action. Jordan, a 49-year-old college graduate, took the exam in 96 and scored 33 points, the equivalent of an IQ of 125. But New London police interviewed only candidates who scored 20 to 27, on the theory that those who scored too high could get bored with police work and leave soon after undergoing costly training. Most cops just above normal, the average score nationally for police officers is 21 to 22, the equivalent of an IQ of 104, or just a little above average. Jordan alleged his rejection from the police force was discrimination. He sued the city, saying his civil rights were violated because he was denied equal protection under the law. But the U.S. District Court found that New London had shown a rational basis for the policy, and a ruling dated August 23rd, the second court agreed. The court said the policy might be unwise, but it was a rational way to reduce job turnover. Jordan has worked as a prison guard since he took the test. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it's going to be everywhere before long. If you have any kind of intelligence, they're like, you're not right for this job. It's president of the United States.
Abortion pill won't be available to Japanese women without partner's consent. 3 decades after the abortion pill became available to women in the UK, Japan is inching closer to approving the drug, but there's a catch. Under the new law, it's expected that it's only be prescribed with the consent of the woman's partner.
That's right.
Legislation to approve medical abortion pills is winding its way through Japan's parliament after British pharmaceutical company Line Pharma International applied last year to market a combination of 2 drugs for the purposes of abortion. A decision is expected before the end of the year. They already have an extremely low pregnancy rate. Like, their birth rate is abysmal.
Last thing they need is an abortion pill.
Women's rights groups have criticized the legislation as it requires the woman's partner to agree to the termination under the same rules that apply to surgical abortion, but also because it has taken long for Japan's male-dominated political and medical communities to consider it. They point out that medical abortion, which can be used to terminate a pregnancy in the early stages without surgery, has been available in many parts of the world for decades. They also note that while oral contraceptives were only legalized in 1999 after a drawn-out 9-year legal debate, Japanese politicians took just 6 months to approve Viagra, the erectile dysfunction medication produced by Pfizer. Questioned by a parliamentary committee earlier this month, the health ministry bureaucrats stated that the standards required for a surgical abortion under the 1948 maternal protection law should be applied to the morning after pill. In principle, we believe that the spousal consent is necessary even if an abortion is induced by an oral medication, said Yasuhiro Hashimoto, the head of the ministry's Child and Family Policy Bureau. But Mizuho Fukushima, a politician from the opposition Social Democratic Party, was critical of the ministry's position, asking the hearing, why should a woman need her partner's approval? It's her body. Women are not the property of men, she added. Their rights, not those of the man, should be protected. Around 145,000 surgical abortions were carried out in Japan in 2020, which is one of only 11 nations that still require the consent of the woman's partner for the procedure to go ahead. That requirement has been criticized by the World Health Organization and the UN Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. Wow. So these Asian hoes just sawed it up even more after that. Let's see. Somebody posted a tweet here. It says, Ukrainian girl posts countless photos from Dubai on Instagram. Uploads 3 posts about her father that got killed in the war. Posts a short video of herself crying. Then goes back to posting pictures from Dubai. Ukraine war is cringe. Yep, posting these sexy thought in up pictures. No, that's my father that died. And stupid shit.
Well, I don't know. I think someone besides us is going to have to start paying for their war because we can't afford it.
Well, we've got something else here. May 31st. Oh, wow. Look at this. Woman who is sexually attracted to planes wants to marry Toy Boeing. A woman in love with a plane insists her desire is not a flight of fancy. Sarah Rodo, 23, even refers to the Boeing 737 as her boyfriend. She flies on the aircraft as often as possible and has 50 replica models of the plane at home. Sarah calls the Boeing Dickie, and hopes to wed one day, even though it is illegal in Germany. The Dortmund resident identifies as an objectum sexual, meaning that she is sexually attracted to inanimate objects. She said past romances with men didn't get her filing high. She's also been in love with a train. Sarah said, my plane is called Dickie. I love everything about him, but particularly his face, wings, and engine. They're so sexy to me.
She likes trains.
Some people don't understand my love, but my friends took my coming out very well and encouraged me. I actually don't have a problem with this.
I mean, I think it's stupid.
The same reason people... I mean, it's like... their woman sex dolls. We got dolls. They have planes. If they want to have a plane, let them have a plane.
They have to own the plane.
No, toys.
They just want to marry.
Yeah,
the toy
but sometimes they go inside the plane and they won't actually marry the physical plane.
I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I think she wants to marry the actual plane.
I think that's just
how do you marry the actual plane?
Problems.
No, people have been into this for a long time. This is just something that
people have been into cutting their wieners off and changing their sex for a while now.
That's actually not something that's gone back since the ancient times. People have been attracted to...
Not since the ancient times.
Yes, since the ancient times. There were people that were attracted. Don't forget about Pygmalion.
Eunuchs, maybe.
No. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about... Because you're saying that... No, that didn't go on in ancient times. Objectification or sexual... Yes. Don't forget about Pygmalion. Like, there was the thing... There's always been people that have been interested in statues and things like that. It was... Yes, this is a thing. It's just a thing that's been kind of dormant in our society, and it hasn't really come out to the internet. It was something that people have been into for a long time, and it's just coming out. People are attracted to things. We're humans. The human brain wants what it wants. It's attracted to what it wants. And sometimes those things are horrible, and you need to be discouraged. But sometimes those things are odd, but they're not hurting anybody. Like, I don't give a damn if she's attracted to a plane. Is she touching children? Is she trying? No. She's attracted to a plane. She wants to marry a plane. I mean, she probably never will actually marry the plane, but she'll be happy in her home where she has planes, trains, whatever. And I know there's a woman that's attracted to a crane, it's certain things. There's a woman's attracted to a bus. They've done documentaries on it. I don't care. If they can do that, you know, guys have their dolls.
You're going to do what you're going to do regardless.
Right. It's not hurting anybody.
As long as it isn't a crime.
It's not a crime. It's not hurting anybody. There's nothing against it. And it doesn't seem to distract her from her. You know, I mean, she's not... She still has a life. As long as they still have a life and it's not just surrounded by this thing... You know, it's fine. Like, some people will have pictures of their kids, and some people will have other things. I mean, like, these are my children. It's my wife.
I think it's more of an infatuation that she's confused about.
And I don't think so. Because it's all about the chemicals in the brain. And the chemicals in the brain, if they react to something, they react to something. That's just how the brain works. It's always been that way. There's always been people... And maybe I'll have to do some research to see how deep this goes, but I know there have always been people attracted to fictional characters. I know there's always been people that have been attracted to objects and things like that.
Usually loosely based off real people. Unless they're attracted to Mickey Mouse.
That's a thing.
I'm sure it probably is.
That's a thing. That's probably part of the furry thing, actually, because it's a furry costume. So yeah, that would be part of the furry shit. But no, there's people into that. I mean, that's just... It's whatever. Let's see. As long as it's notice.
I feel like it could go either way, then.
Let's see. Another strange person that... Why are there pictures of some dude? Yeah, she's very masculine looking.
Yeah.
But if that's what she wants, that's what she wants. It's whatever. Like, don't get on to me about shit.
Not you.
I'm talking about... People in general, like, oh yeah, don't get on to me about shit, because if the woman likes a plane, she likes a plane.
Wouldn't touch any of the planes in her, huh?
Yeah.
So Astroglide make it take off quicker, or what are we talking about?
Our snap spectacles, the great leap forward in augmented reality. And with this, we'll finally be in June articles. Oh, all my right. God. We'll finally yep. be in fucking June articles. I'm so glad. We can start June articles next week. Well, we're not doing a show next week. Oh, yeah. We're not doing a show next week. We're doing something new. I don't know what's going on with my throat right now, but... Anyway, we're going to do a Ninja Turtle pizza party. We're going to eat pizza. We're going to stream the game, Shredder's Revenge, right here on the Discord server.
Get some Mountain Dew.
We're going to play it. You can drink Mountain Dew. I'm not.
I don't know.
But,
something with caffeine. I like Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I might grab one of those. I can do that. But, we're going to pretty much play that game, and we're going to have fun. We're going to try to have fun, have a good time,
as
and we're going to stream it.
We'll try to make it.
It depends on, you know, I'm hoping GOG is going to get it, but I'm not thinking they are. In that case, I'm probably going to have to get it from Steam and then get it from another website, because I don't obviously want to play it on Steam, but it seems like they might not be getting it on GOG, at least not right away. Anyway, we will be playing the game at some rate. On June 16th, I won't be playing it. I know everybody else will. But it won't be until, like I said, next Monday. And we're going to play all the way through it, hopefully. I'm going to use my arcade thing. Because I want the arcade feel. And that thing should emulate an arcade. I'll test it out. But it should emulate an arcade stick. And, of course, DP, he'll use a regular controller.
Oh, that's all I need.
So, yeah, we'll try it and see how it works. But if you guys are interested in that, then check it out. We will post it on YouTube and everything else. Because it'll be fun. And
you can only imagine us.
Maybe whatever's going on with my throat will be done. I honestly don't know.
When you watch it and listen to it, just know we'll be eating pizza.
I think it's the weather.
Beverages.
Because my nose has been all stuffed up and I don't know.
Yeah. It's probably getting any kind of cool air and then going into the blistering heat.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
You'd think as humid as it is here, you'd open your sinuses up, but...
It doesn't. It just... Pop into Snap's offices and you might see some curious things. Butterflies fluttering around the lobby, zombies in the canteen, the entire solar system on the terrace. Snap, which began life as a photo messaging app, Snapchat, has been a pioneer in augmented reality. But instead of peering through a smartphone app to view these effects, I saw them through what almost felt like normal glasses. Snap's newest spectacles are not widely available, but the demo I had showed promise. When I held up my hand, a butterfly appeared to land on it. Wow. I clicked a button on the frames and the glasses told me what I was looking at. Images were bright and clear, although a big limitation is the batteries just last for 30 minutes. They'll work it out. Snap spectacles are the latest in a long line of intriguing headset prototypes I've tried over the past decade so far. None of them has gone on to become a hit. I first tried an early version of the Oculus virtual reality headset at the Consumer Electronics Show in 2014. It remains the most impressive demo of a new technology I've ever experienced. I felt like I'd put my head inside a video game. I wasn't the only one. Mark Zuckerberg liked Oculus so much he bought the company for $2 billion. It's been a decade since virtual reality re-entered the lexicon, but the technology has largely failed to break out to the normal world. 2016, Goldman Sachs predicted there would be almost 100 million VR and AR headsets by use and used by 2020. The number today is estimated at closer to 10 million.
I'd be surprised Facebook, that it's even 10 million.
While Facebook's founder remains more enamored than ever by VR, I've given up on waiting for the rest of the world to be wowed. There are several fun VR games such as Rec Room and Beat Saber. Some colleagues swear by VR workout apps, but despite hardware improvements, I still struggle to find reasons to boot up my Oculus. Nevertheless, Silicon Valley's gearing up another attempt to convince us that the future of computing is on our faces. Apple, Facebook owner Meta, and Google are working on glasses and all headsets of all shapes and sizes. Snap spectacles are a harbinger of several AR devices launching this year. All of them face the same impossible choices. Better graphics mean heavier headsets and batteries that run out sooner. Compromise on optics and the utility disappears. What struck me with Snap's demo was how comfortable its glasses are. They look pretty sci-fi, but are nowhere near as bulky as other headsets, coming in at less than a quarter of the weight of Microsoft's HoloLens 2. Google recently demonstrated similarly unobtrusive glasses that seem to show near-instant transcription and translation of a foreign language as it is spoken, kind of like subtitles for the world, according to the promotional video. By contrast, Apple and Meta appear to be opting for the full-fat experience. High-resolution AR headsets that look more like ski goggles than glasses.
I've heard Meta's been doing really bad.
There's an argument that anyone's first demo of VR AR is just too good. First time you turn your head in VR, see holograms in AR, it's incredible. Only on repeat viewings do you realize how cumbersome the hardware is. The next 12 months may determine whether that turns out to be simply a new platform's growing pains or the technology's epitaph. Pardon. I do like the Snap glasses, though.
I mean, how much do each of them cost?
I don't know yet. They're all prototypes.
You know, PS5s, I saw one the other day. Mm-hmm. I was like, how much?
Yeah, they're $500.
$700.
Oh.
$700. I said, nah, I'm going to wait a couple of years for them to go down.
Well, they are going to stop making PS5 games in 2025, they said. PS4 games in 2025.
Yeah. Well, they better have enough PS5s right. to go around, because that's the problem now.
Oh, well, we do have... Okay, we got another. We got, June 2nd. Rune Factory 5's bugs, possibly due to Western-implemented same-sex relationships. What? Despite the abundance of awful bugs and glitches occupying Rune Factory 5, a series I'm actually familiar with, I have some Rune Factory games on the Wii. It was recently learned that those bugs may in part have been due to the same-sex relationships the localization team implemented into the Western version of the game, later being included in the Japanese version as well. The bugs and inconsistencies arose in the localization process, where individuals on the Western development team decided to alter the game and demanded the original creators capitulate to their changes, as they admitted in their own blog post from 2021. We had asked for same-sex marriage to be included in the game as early as 2018 and felt optimistic after it appeared in Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town. We asked our main liaison with the development team, Marvelous Localization Department in Japan, to check their plans for same-sex marriage. They confirmed it was not planned for Rune Factory 5, but that they would ask about the possibility of adding it. At the same time, Marvelous Localization team laid some ground rules for its implementation to make sure that players would have the same experience regardless of which character they pursued. The localization team had endlessly wrest control of game development, altering in-game dialogue and models, ultimately leading to the creation of the aforementioned bugs and glitches. Examples of the localization process dragging down the game quality and creating inconsistencies in the dialogue. Since the localization made every character bi, this line probably was originally, that's how all the cool guys invite girls out. I never knew this who you wanted to be, and I love it. I support your decision. Uh-oh, they changed it. Two of the localizers responsible for the bugs and diminished Metacritic score took pride in their work and joy in seeing their paying customers irate with unnecessary changes and destruction of a beloved IP. It's bad. Yeah, they're fucking praising it. Was feeling major FOMO, thinking I've been left out of the shitty localizers list, but it's okay. I got some secondhand hate for RF5, a game whose localization has not even been released. I'm delighted to announce that I worked as an editor in Rune Factory 5. I've leveraged what I learned editing SOS FOMT to write more authentic, sincere, same-gender romantic dialogue, and of course peppered my portion of the script with japes aplenty.
I mean, people aren't buying games to get into all this woke horse shit. They're trying to escape all the stuff they have
especially
to put up
in
with
Japan.
Oh, yeah. They don't want to hear about what they're hearing on the news morning, noon, and night.
Right.
All their TV shows have been redone to fit the narrative and all that. Burns my tip. Oh, man. I think that The Good Doctor... Well, I don't... Yeah, even The Good Doctor's had it in there where it's been... It's always been hard because I was born a gay man. And I'm like, what in the hell? And then,
right.
Or, oh, you'll never know what it's like to be black. I was like, right now, everyone wants to be black, apparently, because the style and rap fashion and all that. I liked certain rap and R&B growing mm-hmm. up, but no, it's just stupid. It's like Crowder was saying, that we grew up in the age of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Family Matters and all these.
Yeah.
And then it Step by Step, which was the white family after the black
family.
Yeah,
I remember that.
And no one even gave a shit about what color you were.
Yeah.
And it's good. But now we have all these hate mongers in office. They're like, oh, we got to separate everyone by color.
I mean, look at the fucking, what is she? The woman that speaks for Biden now. It's a fucking black woman that talks about how
she's
bad
repeatedly
everything.
Talked
That's all
about
she says.
How evil white people
That's
are.
All she says. Yeah. Fucking German Shepherd that just, yeah.
I don't know.
Demonizing white people. I don't, it sucks, man.
The justice they're trying, or I guess they have gotten her into office or whatever, couldn't answer what a woman was.
Yep.
Which Matt Walsh documentary? Oh, that's amazing!
Oh, you watched the whole
it's
thing?
It's so okay. hilarious. But
did you watch the Safe Spaces one?
No, I probably watched that tonight.
Okay.
But yeah, that one was hilarious. And then he got real serious about it. I mean, he does make valid points on that. Which is what seems like common sense to most people. Is like you shouldn't be forcing kids into learning. Like, parents wait till they're probably in, maybe not in junior high, but getting close to that age before they even talk about sex half the time. I think I was probably 9 or 10 when I got the talk or whatever, and I think I'd already
hold on, first we got a shout out to Drexel. We got one more article to cover, and it's just popped on. This is, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, the man who was going to be Duke Nukem. Remember, Jordan was talking about that. They were going to make him Duke Nukem. Look at this. Listen to this bullshit. All
right.
Charlie Sheen speaks out on daughter Sammy's OnlyFans career. Charlie Sheen has some thoughts on his daughter's OnlyFans profile. After Sammy Sheen promoted her OnlyFans account on Instagram on June 13th, Charlie's sharing his disapproval. Hold on. No. He said something kind of based, actually. All right, hold on.
Yeah, what I'll say it.
Charlie is sharing his disapproval on the 18-year-old's choice to join the adult platform. I do not condone this, Charlie told E! News in a statement. But since I'm unable to prevent it, I urged her to keep it classy, creative, and not sacrifice her integrity.
If anyone knows about sacrificing, I don't know if he's ever sacrificed his integrity, some things he should be.
The 2.5 Men actor also alleged that Sammy's OnlyFans page was created while staying in his ex-wife Denise Richards' house. She's 18 years old now and living with her mother, Charlie said. This did not occur under my roof. In response, Denise told E! News that Sammy's choices are her own. Sammy is 18, and the decision wasn't based on whose house she lives in, Denise said. All I can do as a parent is guide her and trust her judgment. She makes her own choices. Pardon me. On June 13, Sammy advertised her OnlyFans presence by sharing a photo of herself on Instagram with the caption, "Click the link in my bio if you want to see more." Denise took the comments to Denise took to the comments section to rally behind her daughter. "Sammy, I will always support you and have your back," she wrote. "I love you." Back in February, Denise admitted that her relationship with Sammy was not at his best point and that Sammy was living with Charlie at the time. "It's very difficult," Denise explained on SiriusXM's Jeff Lewis Live. "I know we'll get back to where we were eventually, but right now it is strained." Reflecting on their complicated dynamic, Denise claimed that Sammy was being raised differently in Charlie's household. "She lived with me all these years," Denise said later, adding, "there are certain rules and I enforce them, and in Charlie's there's different rules at that house and that's okay." And though Denise and Sammy appeared to have some drama between them in September, they seemingly mended their bond in May when Sammy shared a few selfies of them together on her Instagram for Mother's Day. Sammy captioned her tribute, "I love you so much, Mom. You have no idea how grateful I am to have you in my life." At the time, Denise, who is also mom to Lola Sheen, 17, with Charlie and daughter Eloise, 10, commented under the post to thank her for the amazing Mother's Day, adding, "It means a lot to me." So he didn't, it wasn't that bad. He said he didn't condone it, and he can't really do anything about it.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I'm even going to say.
But you know, at one point he was housing playmates at his house right. for sex. And I think at one time he was distancing them from their kids or parent families. But I don't know if that was just what the families were saying or if that's what was going on, so.
Yeah, that he—I mean, he couldn't stop it, and I mean that's true. Because she is 18. I mean, she is 18. There's really nothing you can do. I mean, he at least urged her to keep it classy, but I don't think that's gonna happen.
Not if you're wanting to make that money. And even then, I think a lot of OnlyFans. Of course, we may have covered that on an article out there, bitching because of the economy that they were doing so poorly.
Yeah.
You gotta know what's more important, seeing pictures of women or eating.
I mean, the fact that he doesn't condone the behavior... Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with that. Like, I mean, it wasn't all out praise, and that I'm good. It wasn't all out praise, and he did stick to the values he had. But yeah, I mean, I mean, there's really not much you can do in that situation. But yeah, I guess we're gonna be done, and
very climactic.
Yeah, I guess we're gonna be done after that. We don't have that many articles. So if you guys wanted me to cover some new articles, you need to post some articles, because dude, we will literally be pretty much caught up. Next week, but well, maybe because of we're doing the thing.
The following week
we'll be a little bit behind, but it's all right because you know we cover stuff that you may not have heard about. So at any rate, this is the Grim Lord and Dead Penetration, and I guess we're out of here.
Later.
I'll see you guys later. Enjoy the decline. It's coming.